Hello and welcome to season two. Yes, we made it to the second season of the Red or Dead podcast. My name's Elian Kutsi. I'm your host today and I'm joined by our merry men and lady, Maria. How are you today?
I'm good. It's been a lovely, lovely sunny day.
Down south. But I think I recall you saying that you found it was a bit bright up north. Not that I'm biased.
It was beautiful weather past 2 days up north, which was quite surprising because it was so blooming awful down south. So yeah, it was lovely to escape up there to get to the nice hot weather.
And why were you up north? Okay, that's it, you brought it in. Well, tell us a bit about why you were up north, because I think that's very interesting and very relevant.
I was very fortunate to get some tickets for the friendly on Monday, so ventured up north.
First cast member to go to Anfield in season two.
In season two.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Very true.
Yeah, of course, because we couldn't go. Yeah, it was lovely. So I went up there, just spent a bit of time at Anfield, looked around, went around the, did all the kind of touristy thing. Didn't go on the tour, but just had a little wonder. And just soaked up the atmosphere. It was absolutely incredible. It was so good to see so many fans. It was absolutely packed. I think it was sold out on Monday again, but 75% capacity. Got in with the new ticketing system, which was interesting.
How did you find it? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or is it just...
What do you have to do?
Really easy. It's easy. They just send you your ticket as a QR.
Why is everyone making such a big deal out of it?
I think it was a bit confusing because some people would have printed their tickets off, and I don't know what you did if you printed your ticket off. It was a slightly different way of getting in. But if it was on your phone, it was quite easy. You literally just slide your phone into this little sort of box and it lets you in.
Enclosed box.
Getting into BoxBot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andre Dixon back for season two. There he is. Let's bring him in. Maria will talk more about the game in a second, your experience. But let's bring in Dre. Andre, come on, man. How have you been? We have missed you.
I've missed you guys. I'm not gonna lie. Honestly, yeah. I have literally missed you guys. And you know, I'm so glad that we actually are back doing what we love and speaking about the team that we love.
What you mean the one on your shirt?
I'm rowing. Oh,
yeah, the one of your...
All right, just by the way, just for full disclosure, I am being a bandwagon person and wearing a PSG Jordan top. Now, I can explain. Allow me to explain. The shirt is amazing. And Messi plays for them. And
what about Wijnaldum? What about Wijnaldum? Your favourite player? You like Wijnaldum. You're not even going to be wearing Wijnaldum shirt.
I love Genie. But
you forgot he was there.
I actually did. I actually forgot anyone's there. I forgot that Neymar's there. I forgot that Mbappe's there. It's absolutely amazing. It's a moment of history. So what I'm doing is I'm representing history. Not being a bandwagon, just wearing history. That's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm good. I've missed you guys and I am fully ready to go and looking forward to this season.
And speaking of ready to go, Suki, we've seen that you've been abroad enjoying the high life, stag do's, Ibiza, traveling Europe, like the man that you are. Tell us a bit about your journey and welcome back, of course.
Thank you. Yeah, just to echo Dre, it's so good to be back. It's been ages for me, actually, because I think I missed the Euro opener when you guys discussed that. But yeah, it's been a good summer. Well, good last few weeks. I've been able to finally get away after a couple of years. Which actually felt so good just being on a plane.
Was the process? Was it like, you know, as scary as people making it, or is it, you know, quite easy?
It's genuinely so easy. Like, I'm devaxed, so it wasn't that much effort at all. Like, you have to do a few tests, but you can actually, for the test you have to do there before you come back, you can actually buy that online here and take it with you, so you don't even have to sort of leave the hotel and go find somewhere.
So the lateral flow test. You could just do one of those.
The antigen one. So it's literally, there's this website you can just, I think, cost something like £29. I just took it with me, took about 15 minutes to do what you take a picture of the result with your passport, and then they send you the confirmation email back, which works. So it's, for me, it was really easy and no hassle at all.
Cool.
And definitely worth the slightly more a bit more expense and slightly bit more effort than obviously pre-COVID. But just so good, like I said, to be away in a warm place after 2 years. Just felt incredible.
I mean, I was going to do it. I was going to venture before, but the PCR tests then were 100 quid each and I'd need three. Yeah. But now they're down to like 20 quid. It suddenly becomes, okay, it's not great, but at least it's reasonable. You know, it's kind of affordable. So it kind of makes it, like you said, worth the trip going abroad. So
you have to, do you have to take them if you go on a private jet, like you normally do?
Anyway, to Cass. Oh no, Cass isn't here, is he? I can't even get him to bail me out here.
Cass has been flying all over the place.
He has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's in Ibiza with me for a little bit, and then he's been to loads of other countries as well, I think.
Cass is living his best life. He's, you know, he's missed on the first episode of season two.
Yeah. I'm missing him so much because he was going to come for you, Dre. I was going to come for you in FSG, and I was waiting for that. I was going to just get my popcorn, sit back, and let it fly. It'd be nice to be on the right side of Cass for once. You know what I mean? I was thinking,
I'm missing my sparring partner.
Yeah, I mean, good start to see.
You know what? That'll come next week. We just have to wait 7 more days.
Well, yeah, to be honest, when the window closes. But yeah, we'll come on to that. But I think, okay, first of all, I think let's talk about
How are you doing, Ellie?
How am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so kind of you guys to ask. Ellie's good, man. I've been busy. As soon as lockdown sort of came to an official end, I think everyone just woke up in terms of work. So I've been traveling a lot, but also socially, you know, lots of weddings, lots of stag do's, lots of birthday parties, lots of gatherings. And so, yeah, just been catching up, making up for lost time. And it's been good. It's been good. And also, I think the good thing is, a little bit, you know, you just remind me how it's like to have people about. I think everyone's just seems a lot more friendly. I notice when you're about and just in public, you get two schools of thought. There's people who are still very scared and you know, and you can tell them a mile away because they've probably still got a mask on even if they're in the center of a park. And there's the other ones who are very, just so happy to see people that they'll talk to anyone and they're smiling and that side of things I really like. So yeah, Ellie's good. Looking forward to a few, I'm due away next week, I'm due in Berlin. So hopefully, nice. Just for a little, that's a little tester trip. No, just a little tester trip. Just, you know, just to, you know, see what's, you know what I mean? See what's going on over there. And then...
It's all right for, you know, all the haves. All the haves in this podcast.
Mr. Miami soon.
All the haves in this podcast. There's, you know, traveling here, hobnobbing, you know, going out of city, out of country.
But we could do, I tell you what.
Sookie peppering me with pictures.
Yeah, loads.
You know,
with Cass.
Just peppering me on purpose and on stories, just knowing that I'm going to bite on some of these pictures that he's been putting up.
It's not about me.
yes, I love it.
Yeah, but
and there's me stuck in Croydon.
What? No way. You've been at the Grand Prix.
I holiday in Britain.
Yes, correct.
Everywhere.
You've been everywhere in the country.
Yeah, proper.
Yeah, you've walked 500 miles.
I'm still got that bungee cord strapped to me, still stuck in this country. So no matter where I go, I still have to be going, whoa.
It's called a family, mate.
I do love my family. I didn't really mean to describe you as shackles in any form of way.
But bungee journeys are fun, isn't it? And you look forward to getting back to the top, actually. It's quite scary when you go away. So it's kind of a nice analogy to me. Anyway, swiftly moving on.
All I'm saying is, all I've seen is Dre rubbing shoulders with celebrities on his Instagram.
Yeah,
lately.
Yeah, constantly.
I'm surprised he's joined us today, to be
you
honest.
You know what I mean?
Hey, it's not about me. You guys are celebrities in my mind.
All I heard is as soon as I said Sookie was going to make it, then Dre said, I'll be there straight away. So, we've seen those because we haven't seen Sookie so long. We begin to wonder if we imagined the guy.
Sookie has been living life like loads. Sorry. You guys, check out Sookie's Instagram. It is ridiculous.
What's your handle, Sook?
No, come on.
No, go on. Go for it. You can't leave him hanging like that.
It's Sbogal. Sbhogal.
See, okay. if you want to know how to live that life, GQ life, then follow. Don't follow me. Don't follow Ellie. Follow Sookie. Because you will know how to live that
how
life.
How to pose, how to street
and
style.
Instagram pictures. That's and it. Angles, man. Text. It's about the angles.
Proper posing.
He knows.
Proper
lighting. He knows.
I don't want to hear anyone say anything about my pictures ever again.
I will. I will. I won't say, I won't name any brands, but I will come for you. If you do that photo with that car again, I will come for you. You know the one. Yeah, you know the one. I won't bring it up here. We're all friends.
I'll just drink my Heineken just to quench.
Oh, Heineken, yeah. Is that a Heineken 00, the new non-alcoholic?
Is there a new one?
Yes, there's a new one. And you know what the great thing about it is? It tastes just like normal beer, but it has 0% alcohol, and it's great to drink on any night of the week. Anyway.
No, just we're sponsored by Heineken for season two.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm only joking. We're not sponsored by Heineken, but yeah, 00 is a good show. Well, I would say, actually, you know what came into my inbox today, actually, which I thought was quite interesting? Eurostar are giving like free tickets. If you want to do a road trip, they'll give you like, well, giving us free tickets. So as in,
when you say giving us, what do you
as
mean?
In if I can take a car for free ticket for free on Eurostar to Europe, which means obviously if there's any away games, I'm thinking that's going to be great. You could just, Drake could get the car.
Well,
Drake
I think we need to go to a PSG game. You know, I'm sorry. I know.
It's in Paris. For those Paris. Who, yeah, it makes sense.
Anyone is like thinking, when the hell are they going to start talking about Liverpool? Just wait, right? We've been waiting for a momentous occasion like this all of our lives. You can wait for 5 minutes. This is history. We need to actually go and see a game like that.
No, we
definitely
do.
I'm looking forward to the Champions League. Please let Paris Saint-Germain play against us.
I want Liverpool to play.
That would be
amazing. I do. Group, please, though. Group. Just so we can still just
No knockouts. Yeah.
No. Just in case. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm happy to come second in that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we can be grouped with PSG. I think we're in the same thing. I saw that the other day.
Oh, we're in the same pot, are we?
Yeah.
Oh well, that killed that dream. Anyway.
Anyway. Didn't even let it linger for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, come on, at least give us 5 minutes. So you can even, you know, barely even got out of our mouths, man. We got shot down, slapped that. Anyway, so the preseason, I mean, Maria, you and I both subscribed to LFC TV Go, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. And no one else did. Did you other guys? Did you do it? No, Dre, did you?
Yeah, I'm on there already.
Are you on there as well? Okay, so mm-hmm. Suki, you didn't. Obviously, you're too busy playing anyway. But so you managed to watch a few of the preseason games. So, Maria, first of all, what's your thoughts of what you saw from preseason, what you liked, who you impressed you, and so on and so forth?
I was impressed with everyone overall. I thought that the team is looking really solid. Everyone sort of gelled together. That was really good to see. I also watched, I don't know if you watched all of these as well. I was watching all the training and, you know, the little videos that they were putting out as well. So I feel like I've trained with Liverpool over the summer. It's been quite nice. I feel like I've got to know them all a little bit better and stuff. But I thought they're all looking really solid. I've been particularly impressed with, lucky Cass isn't here, Naby. I think, yes. I honestly think that this could be the year that Naby breaks through for Liverpool. I really do. And I don't know if you heard this. He's changed his diet. Have you heard this?
Oh, no, I haven't heard this. No, tell me all about this.
So he's gone to a plant-based diet.
Ooh.
In order to No,
I'm happy for him.
Sorry, are we listening to season one, 2020, Ellie?
Exactly. No, this is good. No, keep going.
No, he's been trying to work on the confidence and on remaining fit, staying fit. And he's changed his diet, which is supposed to help him with just remaining injury-free and just making sure his health is where it needs to be.
Like Djokovic
so
stuff.
It'll be really interesting to see how that pans out. So I think Naby, I'm quite excited about. And also, he has played really, really well in the games that he's played. So that's been really good. The other one that has stood out for me, there's loads, but Tsimikas, he's suddenly
at long last
we've seen him, but I think it's because he's finally been given a chance and he's with the team, so that's been really good to see. He was great the other day, so yeah, really, really good to see him kind of showing us what he can do. There was another one that I was thinking, Ox has been fabulous, so he's suddenly found his stride again.
To be fair, I have to say, leader. He was a bit of a leader. He is becoming that leader ox that Dre said. I had to hold my hands up.
It does, Dre.
Yeah, fair play, man. You called it. All right, but I expect you guys to eat your humble pie when it comes. Though, don't worry, I'm not bringing it yet. But when it comes, eat the whole lot. I don't want one crumb left.
About Naby's ability.
Hey, It's okay. You're cool. I ain't coming for you. No, no. This is purely aimed at One Direction, One Direction only, at the moment, because Cass ain't here. But and Cass will never eat that
I've
pie.
I've got anyway, one more.
Okay, go.
Just
go on.
One. Minamino.
Yes.
He's been there. He's doing what he needs to be doing. I've seen more confidence from him. I really think there was a confidence issue last year. So it's been good to see him. And also, I mean, I don't know what he's... Ben Davis came out the other day, so he's
his birthday, wasn't it?
Was it his birthday?
Yeah, I think yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. It was his birthday. And he got to play as well on Monday. So
hasn't he been sold?
Apparently, he's gonna go off.
Sheffield, I believe, is the chat, but we'll see if he actually
loan or sale.
I think it was a loan with the option with the have to buy. I think that was the same.
Yeah,
one of those.
That's right.
Obligation to buy. Sorry, one of those ones. But yeah.
But yeah, it's been great. Pre-season, I've really, really enjoyed. And it's been just lovely to see the whole team smiling and happy again and together. So really good. Yeah.
I mean, our pre-season's been different to a lot of teams because we spent the whole period away together as a team in a different country. So it was actually, it wasn't just...
Obviously the defender at the start,
Konate. He's looked good, by the way. He's looked silky. I know, honestly, he looks class. He looks a bit like he reminds me of, but he's far better. I'm not saying he's like him, but you know, remember when we had Sakho, right? And Sakho used to look when he got the ball.
Sakho.
Yeah, he was a good defender, but he always looked like he was about to pass the ball and give it away. And Konate's got a little bit about that about him. Like when he does stuff, he looks almost a bit ungainly. Like you're thinking, oh, he's gonna. You know, he doesn't look like he's going to make the pass, but he just almost every time he just nails it. I mean, he's very confident as well. Really likes to push forward, likes to play a pass.
Let me ask you this then: who would your starting back two be? Central defense.
And I mean this. I don't care. All of them I've seen have been fantastic in different ways. No, I mean that genuinely as well. Like. You know, Matip was the best at the start. I mean, I love the first part of preseason. He was dribbling past everyone, scoring goals and everything. But he's been training the longest. And then when Van Dijk and Gomez came back, I thought the first game they looked a little bit shaky, perhaps, especially Van Dijk. Mm. But I thought the last game I saw Van Dijk play, he was pretty much fine. Obviously not top, but I mean, his passing range was back. He was just spraying passes all over the place like he used to, winning headers like he used to. And you can see the confidence. He's not far off. Gomez as well just looks so athletic, you know, so, so quick, so sharp. His passing was great. Matip, I'd say, was the most, I'd say if all of them, but if I had to pick one, Matip would definitely be the one and then someone else because Matip looked the most ready. And then Konate looked great, but then he's young, he's fit, he's played. The only thing is, it's his first experience away from home, you know, against Norwich. It won't be an easy game. I don't know if that's the best time to throw him in there. But, like, honestly, I would take it. From what I've seen, I'd be happy if any of those guys started, definitely.
And we've got Rabo out, haven't we? So it's going to be... Would you put Tsimikas in or would you put one of the central defenders on the left?
Oh, no, Tsimikas for sure. He's been flying. And I actually say that is... And I was thinking it, and then one of the guys commentating on the Liverpool preseason game said it. He says, "Look, his balls in are actually better than Robbo's. He's got better quality delivery than Robbo, and he generally does." I thought that the same. I thought, man, this guy he just looks and he's pinpoint accurate. Mm. And I think he's got a bit of that that Moreno rashness in him, like you know. So that kind of scares me a little bit. But then he doesn't seem to mess up, so I can't hate him for that. You know what I mean? Like when he goes in for a hard tackle, he wins the ball. You know, he gives away occasional foul, but everyone does. But he's also really good in the air, which is a surprising bonus as well. He's really good. He wins a lot of headers. And I'm actually think he deserves a chance. And I think he'll genuinely push Robbo for the starting spot. Definitely.
I think Robert can't play as many games as he had played last season.
Yeah, he shouldn't have to.
You need, like, as I said, like, people to be challenged. You know, you need people to think, oh shit, like, I need to make sure that my, you know, I'm playing, you know, playing at the top of my abilities, otherwise I'm going to get, you know, left on the bench. And I think that you have that finally as a challenge with the front four now. Yeah, where no one knows exactly, it's not nailed on that. I mean, maybe you could say
Salah knows.
Yeah. But that's not necessarily, because, you know, you've got, you know, Bobby and Jota, you know, trying to get that extra space. So, but obviously Salah's the only person I know who's pretty much nailed on, but the rest of them have to fight for it. So it's good for competition. And obviously the midfield is a battle as well. I mean, for me, I didn't watch all the preseason games and preseason stuff, because I think it gives you sometimes a bit of a false dawn. But from what I saw of the highlights of those two games, actually, sorry, I watched the second game, the whole thing, and from the highlights I saw with Ox, and I must say I'm back on the Keita train.
Yay!
He looked good. But I think if I was going to choose for the first game, I definitely will go with Ox, personally. no surprise there.
Ox and who? Ox and who? Sorry, I need to hear the other two.
Oh, obviously Fabinho has to play. And then I don't understand why, because a lot of the pundits I've seen, when they're talking about getting the midfield together, they're leaving Thiago out, and I don't understand why, because, you know, he's fit, isn't he? So he hasn't had any injury.
Just hasn't played.
He had a knock, didn't he?
Mm. Okay. I mean, like, Hendo, you don't want to rush him back, but then, you know, he has to start playing games and has to get match fit.
It's Milner.
Personally, me, I don't know. I don't know about
Milner has to play. Honestly, I'm not in the Milner camp, but for what I've seen with him, he's a captain, right? And he's been really solid. Like, all the games I've watched, he's been really solid. And they all and the midfield trio of him, Keita, and Harvey Elliott has been the one that Klopp's gone to in the big games. And I just have a feeling Klopp's gonna, maybe not Harvey. I think he might do Fabinho instead of Harvey.
I don't think he's gonna do Harvey Elliott now. Like,
are Thiago and Hendo definitely not in contention?
I think one of them. I think they're both. Or something.
Probably not going to do a hole.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that you have to start playing people. Look, we're in a position where if we are going to challenge for this league, there's one way to be able to do it. Now, I know that Suki might not think we'll be able to do that, and definitely Cass never thinks we can win it, even when we do. Even when we're actually holding a trophy, he still denies it. But I would say that we've got a very winnable run of games before Christmas. So I think that if we can
Chelsea win, third game in, though, that's a big one. We've got to be playing towards that.
I think people, what it is, all right, my just overall take on it is, I think people have forgotten how good we are. And I like the position that we are when we're the underdog, when people aren't rating us, when people aren't saying that we can win anything. And people say, oh no, Liverpool are going to finish fourth. They seem to forget that we had the biggest injury crisis I've seen since I've been supporting Liverpool.
Premier League history, literally.
Yeah, I've never seen so many players, get injured at the same time. So I think they get a reminder that the way that we play is very much dictated by the defence that we have. And if you've got two slow, pretty much youth team defenders who we've had to use, three quarters of the season, that's a different world than having, your first choice, like pretty much four strong centre-backs who are fast and agile, who can actually play the pressing game that we play. It affects the whole game. So therefore, I think that's why people have been so impressed with Liverpool, because you've seen the defence that we normally have. So I think that people are going to get a shock, because we're going to come out strong and flying.
I'm really happy with full confidence in either four of the centre-backs. We've obviously got Trent, who I just think is going to have actually probably his best season yet, given break in the summer. And I think we'll see him better than the Premier League winning season and the Champions League winning season. And obviously, Robbo is Robbo, and it's good that Tsimikas is challenging. And actually, it's great that Konate can play right back. So when Trent does need a break, we've got Konate playing there. So I'm genuinely really happy with the defence. I think at the break would have done Alisson a world of good. I think that goal at the end of last season did Alisson a world of good as well. Mm. So I think that's obviously key, isn't it? That's so important in challenging for a title is the defence. My worry is the attack. And I think we needed some freshness in there. I think we're going to be challenging Mane and Firmino.
I agree.
Harvey Elliott, but I don't think he's quite ready for a starting place yet. So I'm hoping we do somehow bring somebody in before the end of the window. But yeah, my worry is attack so far. I'm just worried where we're going to get all these goals that we potentially need. Because when you look at the likes of Chelsea now with Lukaku and City with everyone. And even United have strengthened. United's team look pretty good right now.
Yeah, but is anyone, and I'll pass it back to you guys. Like, I don't see anyone, and I mean, you know, just bear in mind, we finished third with a ragtag team. You know, if you look at like, and that's what I'm saying about people, sometimes you're going to have to remind people just who we are. And including our own fans.
But I had to remind myself. That's why I watched LFC TV Go. I can't even say the thing, LFC TV Go. That's why I watched it, because I thought, come on, we're not that bad, are we? And I looked at it and said, we're not that bad.
Extremely good team. Like, and that's what I was baffled with some of the... It's not our particular group, because Cass is never happy. But I think...
Consistent.
Yeah, it's consistent. Definitely that. But I'm not going to get carried away with it, but like, I expect us to challenge, you know, just the same way that we normally do. Now, we came third last year. Man United had their best season and they finished 5 points above us, and we was playing two youth team players and a midfield that had injuries left, right and centre, off-form strikers. Now, obviously, you know, at the end of the day, we've been cracking that whip with that team for a long period of time. Sometimes the gas runs out. Everyone's had a full break, you know, to be able to, you know, get fit, healthy, mentally healthy as well. The fans are back, which is, I can't even emphasize how much of a big deal that is. You know, you're coming back into that cauldron of fear, because at the end of the day, our fans are the loudest and the most, you know,
there's no way we're losing six in a row this season at home.
This is my point. I'm not making any ridiculous predictions, but this is a different team that people are going to be seeing. Now, yes, I do agree with Suki that we do have to add one player, because obviously we've got the couple of nations coming up. So therefore, you're going to be missing Salah, Mane and
Keita.
So you're going to have someone else in there for the
up top for sure.
You know. So it makes sense, you know, to be able to get someone else. But I mean, I just don't believe that they're going to go again with just Milner and so forth, because I think that they, you know, they're not stupid. They know that, you know, you don't want to be in the same position as we was last year.
No. And that's why
we don't do something.
Yeah, but that's why I think for Milner, I think this is the last dance, to be honest. I think this season's the last dance and he knows it. He's just going for it. And I think he knows that. But Maria, in terms of our attacking options, what would you agree with Suki and Dre? Do you think we need a bit more?
Yeah, we do. I think there's been, was it Mane came out and said that he kind of talked about performance last season, and you know, they all seem very aware that it wasn't. I mean, there's no way you can't be aware that it wasn't good enough. But it was very interesting to hear from quite a lot of the players, not just the attacking three, but how they were tired. And Mane said he was tired. He had literally just, what was it, 10 days off the season before. And they've all kind of gone away, refreshed, reset, and hopefully they're coming back to put things right this season. And it was good to hear them talk. It's been good to hear them talking a bit more about how last year affected them, the lack of fans, COVID, they got into a negative mindset. So it's good to hear that they're addressing these things, yes, and they've tried to do something about that. We definitely need someone up the front because it's concerning.
Yeah.
But you know, there's this. I know there's been a million rumors, and none of them have been right so far. None of them. No one seems to be being signed or anything. But there was a rumor. there has been word on the street in Liverpool is that there's an announcement coming, and I'm not sure of the date. I think it's meant to be Monday, because they've booked various things have been booked for a big announcement. I don't know if this is true, but apparently there's something coming
Monday.
And there's been a few Romano comments here and there about things happening. So I don't know, but I'm still
positive that
no, but he doesn't. But he doesn't say stuff. Generally,
he leaves stuff in the air just so he can say, "I told you guys." If there's always
that's what I was talking about. No, but in fairness, though, even Klopp didn't rule it out, and Klopp normally would say that's a stunt. Klopp doesn't mind saying, "Nah, that's a stunt." He'll just say it. You're like, "Nah."
I'm just tempering.
I think there's going to be at least one. There's going to be someone coming up. I don't think we're going to get to the end and nothing's going to happen.
I think there'll be two. And you know what I've been hit? The two things I've hearing. Obviously, we've reached our limit with international non-homegrown players. So we have to get rid before we can get in. That's one. Mm. But if they're under the age of 21, it doesn't count. So
that's right.
So we've got... So apparently, we're looking at Jeremy Doku. Everyone's saying is one of the options. He's a winger, exciting winger, Belgian player.
I'd take him. He had a really good World Cup.
Yeah, good player. Not done a lot in terms of goals in the league and stuff. He played in the French League. Didn't play much. He played a lot. Not a lot, but it's his debut season kind of thing. And he is only 19. But Klopp tried to sign him. We've already tried to sign him before. Apparently, Gerrard walked him around Anfield and showed him. And Klopp said he's like a Mane-type player. But the reason he chose France at that age because he felt that he needed to play more. So that's the only reason I think that might make it a bit tricky now if he still is the same mindset. But apparently, we're looking at him, but because he's 19, he won't even eat into our homegrown contingent. So we can still have him and not have to get rid of a player, which would help us big time. And then obviously, there's the midfield position where I've still been hearing a lot about Renato Sanchez again.
Yeah, that's really swirling around at the moment.
But the reason I think that's we might have done that deal and that's the one the Monday one could be about maybe is because there was a lot of chat about Renato Sanchez and then it just went dead. Like, it wasn't even linked with any club. Like, it's not that he wasn't linked with us. He wasn't linked with any club. Like, none. It just went dead. Like, it was chat. We're interested, then dead. Nothing. It's almost like people knew that he wasn't even an option anymore because people have been throwing names around. And it's only recently now a couple of names is beginning to surface again. And the way that we're so under, we keep things well under wraps. It wouldn't surprise me if that's something that we've had done and we've just kept it quiet. Because I remember with Canate, it was kind of a similar thing where... You know, there was a lot of noise. Oh, Liverpool signed Canate. Then it went dead. We heard nothing. And then suddenly it's like, Liverpool signed Canate.
They move quite quick. They don't mess around. But that's why I think personally, sorry to cut you, Eddie.
I think
that they're going to get, funny enough, you guys are probably going to disagree with that. I know you will. But I would rather us get someone like Bowen, who is... the reason why I say that it's a Liverpool signing all over.
Expensive.
Where it's no, Bowen won't be expensive.
He is, man. That's why they reckon they want like 40 plus, man.
Oh, well, if that's the case, no, but
yeah,
I think if it's cheaper, if there's an angle to be able to get someone like him cheaper, who's like so proven, experience, very fast, you know, agile, can play
hard working, plays our system. Yeah, so
I think for that, you're looking at what I'm worried about is this is that. I think maybe I rate Harvey Elliott higher than you guys.
Maybe.
But I think with him, because he's got the confidence, and I do think that he can step into, you know, filling in minutes, like finishing games, coming in off the bench a lot. I think you're going to see him more than you think.
No, I agree.
Because there's no just way that he would have started with that team. On you know, with pretty much the first team that is, I would say, most likely will start on Saturday if, you know, if he was looking to not play him. You know what I mean? I really do. I think the guy's got confidence.
Yeah, he
can create things like a Coutinho, you know, create opportunities. I just really think he's something that we're missing.
Yeah, but I think that the reason I agree with you is that the way that Curtis Jones played on that second game shows he knows that Harvey Elliott's now above him in the pecking order and he's got to try and get his place back. Curtis Jones, I know he normally, you know, runs about, but he was running like a madman in that game. Yeah. You know, you saw him. I've never seen him like run that hard. And you can see, even though he was clearly concussed and there's no chance he should have carried on, he was like, no, I want to play. I want to play. Because he's thinking, I got to show the gaffer.
You know what's coming. I know Suki doesn't rate him as much as I do, but I definitely think that people are going to be like, he's literally one of those players that everyone knows about. Everyone's talking about. There's a buzz about him. He's a special, special talent. And the reason why I rate him, I'm going to rate him higher than other players that play in Manchester. That because I think that he does something different out of the box on his own. I don't think he's not just a 1-2 merchant. He actually creates opportunities for other people. But he, like, look at that shot that he did. Like, come on, like, this guy is...
Nah, the stats are on your side, I admit that. I mean,
the only thing about him is that he plays on the same side as Salah.
Yeah, but I mean, last season, first season in the Championship, he had better stats than Jack Grealish's best ever in the Championship. I mean, that's ridiculous. And Grealish was 23 at the time when he had those stats, and he's only... Javier, it's what, 18? Is he now? Is he 19? Yeah, 18. So, I mean, the stats on your side. But what I will say, Dre, is that the reason I think you could be right about Foden now is because City have signed Grealish and that's Foden's best position. So I think Pep's kind of stifled him there. He's going to stick him out wide. Whereas Klopp's shown that he's willing to play Harvey Elliott in his actual position. He said he's a midfielder. He's played him in midfield for 3-4 games in the preseason as attacking midfielder. His best, Harvey Elliott's position is Coutinho's position. He's not a winger. And Klopp's actually starting to play him in his favoured position, which makes me think that he could actually become the player he's meant to become. So you could be right there, Dre.
Like, I'd say he's not going to play every single game. He's not going to, but he will definitely be coming off the bench a lot. Obviously, all cup games he's definitely going to be playing. I really do think that's what I'm saying. I think what happens is that people just want signings. People just want a shiny new toy, and then. What is that? When you got some players who are coming back and playing with full fitness, like if
now, nah, but we have no backup for Salah though. We've never had a backup for Salah.
That's I understand that. But but remember, we also have to be able to. You know, we're not always going to play 4-3-3, so we're going to have to change our formation, right. Especially when the African Cup of Nations happens. Then you can't keep on playing the same exactly. You know, same 4-3-3 all the time. You're gonna have again, but then if you get someone like a Bowen in, or
give me another name. I don't like that one. I don't want the Saku thing.
I don't know what it is. I just maybe it might happen. The Sanchez thing. I think that you're going to put a few players' noses out of joint if you're getting a box to box like genie type player coming in, and you're not going to give Keita an opportunity.
Wait, that he's the guy that's going to miss out.
On the left-hand side, because it will be.
Why are you going to make out like he's the guy?
I think Ox offers something that.
I'll tell you what.
Which is Ox, shooting outside the box.
That tech is.
Maria's a fan now.
Yeah, Maria. Okay, I tell you what, Maria. Who else? You saw him when you saw him live. Who stood out to you when you saw him live?
Yeah, it was the ones I mentioned.
Yeah,
it was
again,
exactly the same people. So it was Ox was very active. Yeah, Tamika's Ox, Konate was fantastic.
But Ben Woodburn, I like Ben Woodburn for what I saw.
He was good. I think the problem was when I was watching, I hadn't even looked at the lineup properly. And from where I was, I couldn't see who was who. Really? So I was kind of just spotting. But I'd heard that he was particularly good on that day, but I can't see him being played on a regular, to be honest.
No, but he could be the next. People are saying the next James Milner because he's played right back, striker, centre mid, left wing, and he's done it, and he could play all those positions. So we do need that kind of player in the squad. Yeah. So who knows? He's only 21 as well. I couldn't believe he's only 21.
Yeah, he's very young.
Still a baby. So Suki, you've been quiet for. I want to hear a bit more about your thoughts on our prospects for the season. Obviously, in fact, no, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the other team's transfers and who do you think's done the best business in the transfer window?
I'm worried. I don't think we'll win the league, and it's horrible for me to say that because I'm an optimist, and I always think Liverpool are going to win, even when we had a terrible team 4 or 5 years ago. But for some reason, doing this podcast has made me a bit more of a realist. And what happened last season, I do get what you guys are saying about all the positives. Obviously, Anfield crowd, Virgil having a set back line. I think that will help the break, but yeah, it's like you said, it's what the other teams have done. It's how strong City are. How I feel City had an incredible season, and they're not an aging team. And I do think Jack Grealish will offer something more to their team. And then if they get Harry Kane as well, which they potentially might, that'll be ridiculous. So I'm a bit worried about City. I back our first team defence, actually, so I'd still back us to get a result against City if we play them.
Best defence in the league, would you say?
Yes, I think I would say our defence is the best in the league.
If they always say the best defence wins the league, so that's why I'm saying that. It's quite interesting that.
I do think we've got the best defence in the league. I think if we can keep, if Virgil gets to where he was pre-injury, if we've got Trent playing, going to play a blinding season, which I think, I genuinely think he will do. If we've got Robbo just being Robbo and Alisson back to form. And then, like you said, either Matip, Konate or Gomez. I like all three. I like Gomez. I like Matip and I like Konate. So if we're one of them playing with Virgil, yeah, I back us. And if we've got Fabinho playing well in central defence midfield and obviously Hendo covering when he can as well. Yeah, I do think we've got a great defence. Dory's other teams do have good defence as well. Not as good as ours, but good enough to win the league.
Yes.
I'd back us to get results against the big teams. We always seem to do well against the big teams when we have our first defence playing. So I'm not going to be scared of us playing City, but I think it's other teams lose 3-4, 5-0 against City and not be able to deal with it. And I can just see us potentially dropping points occasionally where we can't get a goal and it will end up 0-0, for example. I can see that happening. In terms of teams that I'm worried about, I think Chelsea are the one I'm really worried about, actually, because they had a blinding second half of last season. Because they were behind us at one point, and they, I know we finished,
and they finished behind us. Yeah, Jenkins. By the end,
they were well off at Christmas when Lampard was in charge, and then the job Tuchel did was insanely good.
Yeah, he did well.
Went on to win the Champions League, which I still actually preferred over City, but still.
It's best case, worst case scenario, wasn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly. And then they've just got Lukaku, who's,
my goodness,
he's just been amazing for Inter and Belgium. I think he'll be good for them.
Dre doesn't agree, but I just think he's not the same player that left Dre. You know, he's not
the same player as he was at United.
I kind of look at our team, and I can't genuinely see. I'll give the champions. You know, we had an interview earlier, and we were speaking to Jolien. I've got his name wrong again. Jolien Lescott. He was saying, you know, obviously from a point of view from the champions, you've got to obviously put the champions as the favourites because obviously they're champions. So, you know, at tradition, I will do that because I wouldn't want, if we won a league, for someone to be like, oh, and they're not going to win it this time.
Yeah.
What I would say is this, is that last season was an anomaly. We won the league before we won the league pretty much before the COVID happened. So no one can say, oh, it's some type of COVID Premier League championship we won. I think with this one, I think you're playing teams without any form of, you know, atmosphere. Like going to Tottenham with a full crowd there, that's not easy. Yeah, it's a different type of game. You're going playing Palace at their ground, you're not going to beat them 7-0. It's easy for teams to be able to just start kind of think, oh, well, we're not going to win this one. And there's no reaction to it. There's no comeuppance because at the end of the day is that you're not facing someone in the crowd saying, get up and run. You know, You're not having that.
Yeah.
You're not accountable to anyone if there's no crowd. So therefore, I think that, you know, there's, I think personally that our crowd will play a massive difference. I don't see anyone better than really, being honest. Yeah, if you're gonna say, oh, you know, Lukaku's gonna play really well and score lots of goals, I think Salah will score more. You know, I think that Mane will score more.
I tell you what, Mane looks sharp. Mane's looking sharp.
But then also, so is Bobby. Bobby
looked good.
Bobby's movement
looked good.
Yeah, he was great the other day.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Maria, like his movement, the thing is, when you have a rest and you have your crowd cheering you on, it's a different, sometimes some players just like to play for the crowd. And he's definitely one of those.
Bobby's one of
those. I know Cass will be like, oh, well, he's finished and he's rubbish and woe is me and we're not going to be able to win anything. But I can't.
He was thriving the other day. It was all about him the other day. And he was lapping it up.
The conductor.
For a season, I just think as supporters, our job is to make sure that we have some type of optimism for the season. I don't know whether we're going to win the league, but I know we're going to contend. And that's all I ask. All I ask is that the last 2 weeks of the season, we're in the mix and there's a possibility for us to be able to win. You've got to look at what we're against. Obviously, if we move to, like, you know, this elephant in the room about FSG.
I was about to go there.
I know you. I'll jump with you.
United. I'll say that. I'm not worried about United. I think
all right.
Sancho, but we're still a better team than United.
Okay, here. Do you agree, Maria, Dre?
What, better than
United?
We'll finish above United.
Finish above United.
I think the lowest that we'll finish is second.
Okay, so Dre and Maria's tentative yes, I'll take that though.
No, I agree. I do think we're good. We're strong contenders. I think that I think that what happened last year, having reflected on it a bit, when we were in the midst of it, there was all this stuff going on, and it was quite hard to be able to see that there could be any future of what was going on.
Correct.
But I think having seen the team back together and all the people we wanted back, and listening to what they're all saying, it just seems like it's headed in the right direction. So actually, I've got high hopes for Liverpool
this season.
Go on, Maria.
No, sure. I've got really high hopes for them, and I would love to see them win. But I do think Chelsea will be the ones to watch to beat.
Betrayal.
But we can do it.
Yeah. I just think that FSG should sign some players, but that's another story to give. Now, okay, Dre, I'm not coming at you on this because I'm actually more agreement with you now than I was before the transfer window started. Actually,
okay.
I'm actually more aligned. I don't think we need that superstar now. No, I don't think we need the superstar right now. Now, you know, you were saying that. Why?
Yeah.
Because I've seen the quality of our players. I forgot how good our team was. I generally did. When I watched guys like Leighton Clarkson, you know, Owen Beck, and like these kids, you know, again, like I said, Woodburn come back. That Connor Bradley, or I think it is the one who played for Ireland. You know, Kelleher in goal, and you know, and we haven't even seen that Cade Gordon, and you know, Harvey
he was
as well.
Really good.
And
yeah.
You just look and you think, hold up, these kids are like 16, 17, 18, 19. You're thinking, wow. I mean, they were mixing. I mean, and the confidence they've got from that trip, that second game, the one that you went to, Maria, when they came on, you didn't really notice a change in the quality at all.
The team is there. It's like the future of Liverpool is there. It's waiting in the wings. And it's this little bit in the middle that we need to be careful of and just make sure. But that's why we need to sign in.
That's why you need to make sure we don't squeeze them out with buying too many players. That's why I think we just, someone like a Doku who's young, I just think we never have got a player that could play. I don't want Harvey being shipped out wide again to play because he can play there. I want him to just master that position as a number 10, where Klopp's had him all preseason, master it, become the guy, become the Eden Hazard, Messi-esque, Coutinho-esque type player that he is. You know, that is who he is. Let's not confuse him, start shipping him there. Now, let's just keep him in his position. Let's sign a proper winger that plays right wing who can be Salah's replacement. And that's what I want from this window. If we don't get midfield, I'm not going to cry, because we've got, like, I would happy. Ben Woodburn has surprised me so much, honestly. Suki's saying, Suki, but to be fair, Suki, right? You had to watch the preseason games to see this. Because if you haven't, I can understand where you're coming from, because I'd be the same as you.
Have you not seen it?
I've only saw the Athletic Bilbao and then parts of the Osasuna one.
Yeah, I mean, especially the Osasuna one is when all the real youth played. And if they were, I actually thought they played better than the first team. But I mean, it's the opposition as well. They let them play. But honestly, it just made me realise that, look, I've been watching the other teams play pre-season, some of them. And I think to myself, you know what? Even the Super Cup game the other night, you know, you look at Villarreal, Chelsea. I mean, okay, Chelsea got all those stars, but in reality, they didn't shine. You know, the way we played was Klopp when he first arrived. That really swashbuckling attacking type football that doesn't let the opposition even breathe. Our closing down, I remember when we first used to, under Klopp, when we used to play teams, I thought it looked like the other teams weren't quick, weren't strong, weren't fit, like they couldn't cope. And it looked a bit like that. Again, we just looked so much quicker than everyone else, so much sharper than everyone else. And that was all the players. It wasn't, apart from, I don't want to pick on him, but I thought Nico Williams still didn't look good enough, but that's just my...
He's the only one.
Yeah, literally the only one that I thought...
I think my issue is I'm seeing it from the lens of the end of last season, where for me, Mane and Bobby weren't good enough. And I was hoping there's going to be... I didn't mind keeping them both, but I wanted better starters than both of them. Now, look, I'll reserve judgment until a few weeks into the season to see how they're playing once they've had a rest, now they've had a rest. Yeah, look, I still like Bobby and Mane, and I'm really hoping they do have a really good season. I'd love for our old front three just to have a great season again, like, and sign off, but yeah.
I think people are quite like ageist, and I think that what happens, like, if you look at, like, you know, Benzema, like, you know, he was like, you know, he ran us ragged.
Cavani, you know, Zlatan, yeah, Ronaldo.
I don't subscribe to this, like, oh, well, you know, what are they, 29 now? Almost 30?
30, 29, like, around that, yeah.
It's just like, well, so? Like,
Things have changed. The way they train now has completely changed. Mm. I don't think we can hold on to the, oh, they're 28, yeah. 29, so that's done, they're finished.
Cellini was like...
Years right. plus in them, some of these
you know, bossing the defence, and he's...
Insignia and all them lot as well. They got, there's lots of top, a lot of the top strikers now are 30 plus.
Because
you know, Lewandowski.
Well, I'll go with the FSG out thing because I've seen less of it now, actually. Suki, you're one of them. But the thing is that what I don't get, and what you should appreciate more now than anything, any other time, is that, you know, the shirt that I'm wearing right now, this team has spent a stupid amount of money still waiting to win the Champions League. You know, they lost the league last season. Like, I don't think it matters how much money you spend. I think it's who you buy and the manager that you have. And I think that we've made good decisions all along the way. And you know, we've beaten Man City haven't won the Champions League.
I don't think we have, though. We didn't make good decisions last season. We really didn't. Season,
but then you've got to remember is that, again, not one person in this earth is perfect and people are going to make mistakes. And at the end of the day, but I do go by, live and die by Klopp's decisions.
Interesting you should say that, because Paul Joyce did an article saying that the biggest win for this season was Klopp's having a break because he looks refreshed. And I agree with that. Klopp just seems fresh again. Because obviously, he didn't have a break either. I mean, if they didn't have a break, the players, he must have been on the phone every day waiting to see when are we going to go back? How can we make this work? You know, so I bet he didn't even have a break the last time at all. Oh. And then, exactly, and then he lost his...
Alisson lost his dad. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to... I don't think you can just look at it and just think, oh, well, you know, because we're not buying players, then, you know, we're not... You know, well, we're not buying players at the moment. I'd rather them buy the right player. I'd rather them buy just one player who's going to fit into the actual, you know, ethics and morals, fit into the team, you know, fit into the team, rather than just buying anyone and anyone and they'd be pissed off that they're sitting on the bench and then become a disruption. And then there's drama. And I don't want to go through. I don't want to be a Chelsea. I don't want to be a Man City. I don't want to be a PSG. Actually, I do want to be a PSG. But, you know.
No, for different reasons.
I love the club that we are. I want Harvey Elliott to come through. I do want some of the youngsters to be able to come through. That's the club that we have. If anyone else wants to be able to just buy millions of players and just, like, you know, be interchangeable, and go and support another team. That's never been who Liverpool is as a city. As you know, Maria just been there. Like, it's a working class team, working class club.
I just don't think. I don't want to be a PSG. I don't want to be a City. I don't want to have to win the title that way. And I'm glad how we won it in 2019 or 20. Sorry. And how we won the Champions League in 2019. But I just don't think we're doing the minimum. Yeah, it's just, I look at the net spend for the last 5 years and I look at the other teams that are ahead of us. And I don't mind the likes of United, City, Chelsea ahead of us. But then it's all the other teams, and I can't think of them on the
Villa
right now. But
Leicester.
Yeah,
they've got a lot of ground to catch up to be able to be where we are.
But that's fine. They can try that, but we shouldn't be allowing that. We 150 million net spend for the last 5 years is not enough.
Yeah, but you've got to look at what's been spent. You know, it's more than just the players. Obviously, they've been playing the players and they've been making their decision is, rather than just keep on buying new players, let's renew the contracts of the players that we already have.
No, I get that.
This is the first time I've ever been a Liverpool fan since the 80s, where I'm not fearful of someone else coming and grabbing our players.
Yeah, of course. Look, we obviously, there is an element. We need to keep our stars. And obviously, we don't want to lose the likes of Salah or Virgil or Fabinho or Alisson and people like that. And there is a lot of work to do with that. But we can't let what happened last season happen again. We didn't strengthen after we won. We didn't strengthen in... The one I really actually hate... the January last
same that one I can't
yeah, that was
we were top of the league at 1st of January and we were confident we'd had these injuries and we all said we needed defenders said it, and then we just didn't. We got to
wait till last day of the month before we did anything.
I was
always been with you on that one, because I just think that was a mess and that disrupted the team. But I think that now, I think I'm really proud of the fact that Alisson, you know, Fabinho, you know, want to renew their contract so quickly. Someone else has renewed it as well. I can't remember.
Trent.
Virgil is due, and then there's
Salah as well. They reckon.
Like, yeah. You know, so
I like that they're getting their house in order after sort of the chaos.
It's a good business. It's a good business. Yeah. I can't hate on that. But all us fans want is at least to see that we are doing the minimum required. We don't, like, because Liverpool fans aren't greedy. And the thing is, I like the chat that, and it seemed to be validated by quite a few sources, that we did actually try and buy Chiesa. I like that we tried. Even if we didn't work, at least it shows that, okay, if the right player's there and we think he really can add, we're going to go for it. And I like that. And, you know, we're not going to get everyone.
Not, it's not FIFA, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if we can't get him, you can't get him. That's one thing. But at least, you know, if we see the player and we definitely think that's us, that he went for it, that makes me happy. Because we haven't done that since Van Dijk. Oh, sorry, Alisson. Sorry, Alisson's after Van Dijk, so Alisson. But, you know, that's what I'm waiting for. Obviously, we haven't identified a player that we see as important enough for as that. But I think we've got some kitty we're kind of saving somewhere. Yeah. Mbappe. Sorry, I got a bit of a not COVID. Don't
I mean, he's not signing a new contract, which is next year though.
I don't think we'll pay what he.
Oh, we can't afford that type of money. And then, but the thing is that you've got to look at some of the other things that is going on. Obviously, you know, we're not backed by oil money. The only people that haven't been affected are PSG, Man City, maybe Man United.
Chelsea.
And I don't know what's going on with Man United.
No, to be fair, Man U, the reason I don't hate on Man U in the same way, I hate on them in different ways. I don't hate on Man U the same way spending-wise, because they earned the right to spend big because they made that money. Like, they just made that money. I can't hate on that if they're spending the money.
I don't want my club being in a position where you never know what could happen. Like, there's been, I don't want what happened before when we was under Hicks and Gillette. And then,
yeah, okay, cool. I mean, yeah,
embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, where your club is like, you know, people thinking that your club's going to go under. I think it's things like that. And Man City have obviously, you know, put themselves in a very strong position, but they've got a country behind them, and so have PSG. You know, at the end of the day is that we can't compete with them, you know, financially, but then what we can actually do is our scouting system might be better than other people. So therefore, getting a Boeing or someone else, I trust them.
Stop that name. Stop swearing, man. It's a family-friendly podcast.
The thing is that, like, let's say, for example, at the start of last season, I'd have said to you, oh, we're going to sign Jota. You'd have been like, do you get what I mean? Like, but look.
No, I'll be honest. I didn't have beef with Jota. I never had beef with Jota. I just didn't expect it. I just didn't expect it.
See that coming.
No, because he was scoring hat-tricks. And, everyone saw him scoring hat-tricks in Europa League. I haven't seen Bowen score no hat-trick in nowhere, mate. I haven't seen him score a hat-trick in Carling Cup, Carabao. I've seen nothing. I've seen the guy run around a lot.
I've seen him run around. I've seen him tear Man City and Man United a new one.
In what sense? What goal? Did he score?
No, not scoring, but he's...
Okay. So that's what we want for our wingers. Someone who runs around and doesn't score. We got our right back for that. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it. Anyway, I don't want us to go for 5 hours on this first one because I could talk to you all night. But I will say one thing. Two last orders of business. One, I'm going to talk about the kit briefly because I've just read this.
Oh.
Our new away kit, right? Apparently, it's sold out already before the season's even begun.
Well, the cream one?
Yes, it's sold out. All the men's kits are sold out completely before the season's even begun.
Can I just say something about the kit, Ellie? Are you there?
Go for it.
Sorry.
Yeah,
no, I just frozen. Had a complete break.
I think, like, I'm there.
It stopped. The kit looks incredible in the real.
The home kit,
everything that has come out all this of them, okay. year, like all of it, looks really good. And when I saw it all side by side, because I think I kept saying it to you guys, none of it made sense to me before. I was like, I don't understand why we've got this shirt, the home shirt, and although I like them both. And the away shirt didn't make sense to me. Like, I was like, there's no consistency between the two. But actually, when you see them side by side, you can see that the colours actually carry over into the away shirt. And the stuff that has come out looks amazing. Seriously, I just want to buy everything.
So that I'm top, did you buy working. That top you're wearing as well? Did you buy that?
Oh, there. Yeah, but this was it was in the sale.
That's a bad
one. Oh, it's cool, though.
This was last year's thing. But their Timeless. Stuff is so good. And the problem is that the pictures don't do it justice. Mm. But it's lovely.
Sold out
and
now.
The kit looks incredible. Really nice.
I've also got the away shirt for little kids,
they've done it without a collar. And it looks actually better without the collar.
Yeah, I would have really without the collar.
It's all right, you can fit into the kid's size anyway, right?
Yay. No,
I'm joking. I'm playing. That's hard.
I would wear it without the collar, but for like women, I don't think it looks that great as a women's top without the collar.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm going to get the third kit. I'm going to get the third kit with K-8 on the back, the yellow one. Yellow and red. Because it's yellow and red, if you know something. No, it's not. But you know, every African flag has what colour in it? Yellow and red. And for a reason, man. So I'm gonna get that. And I have to get Katie Rate because this is the season. So I'm gonna get that kit, even though I don't like it actually that much. I'm just gonna have to do it. Sorry, guys.
Sorry,
Suki. I was trying not to laugh. Oh, it's not good to laugh at your jokes.
You just shot him.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't even warranted.
No, I'm sorry. Now, to everyone, sorry. The reason we're laughing
is nowhere as well.
I said Suki about the shirt. Now, Suki is a very, very good shape guy. You know, he's in very good shape. That's why I said he could fit into the
kid sizes. I don't need any compliments now.
Anyway.
Anyway, Norwich on Saturday, 5:30 is the kickoff away from home.
Oh, no.
Suki, what would your starting lineup be based on who we've got available?
I didn't even think of that lineup.
I would go. So you said Thiago and Hendo have potential knocks.
No, they had knocks. They started playing.
They're available. Everyone is apparently available.
Yeah, apart from Coach Jones.
Apart from Robbo.
Okay. I would go at the obviously Alisson and go. I'd go Trent, Tsimikas. I'd go Matip. I'd go. Konate with him. I think probably give Virgil another game out. Actually, wouldn't, and maybe bring Virgil on, bring Virgil or Gomez on, ease him into the first game. Obviously, Fabinho.
Just for your FYI, Klopp said he's not going to change centre back. Other positions he can change, but he goes to centre back. It doesn't make sense to change him. So he said that. So whoever you choose, that's it.
Say that again. He's not.
What do you mean? He's not going to change him during the game.
He's not going to sub him during the game because he said it destabilizes the team when he changes centre back. So he said other positions you can, but he doesn't want to change the centre back. So they'll probably play the full 90, whoever he chooses.
I'd give Konate his debut. Yeah, I'd go Konate and Matip, and then obviously Fabinho. And now this is where I'm unsure in terms of midfield. I don't know whether to put Hendo and Thiago straight in. I probably wouldn't actually for the first game just because let's ease him in. I would like to see Kate play. So, yeah,
please.
Have Kate in there. And then third place. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think we need some kind of leadership on there. So I think either Hendo, Milner or Ox.
Leader
Ox. Okay. Ox, yeah. Okay.
And then front three, I'd go, yeah, same for Firmino, Salah, and Mane.
Interesting. So, Maria, do you agree?
Yes. Yeah, I think exactly the same.
You start Firmino.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise, yeah, I think so.
And in midfield, you go. So in midfield, you Fab, go for Ox.
Keita and Ox.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And can I say starting in the back as well?
Can I take the back, Matip and Tsimikas and Trent? Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I mean, go. Okay, that was easy enough. Okay, Dre, come on. You're going to change it up or you're going to go with the same?
Yeah, definitely not leaving Ox out.
No, yeah. Wait. So, Tsimikas starting. I think he's going to start Virgil because when you're not going to play him, like he's got to be fit. He needs games. Mm. So I would play him.
It's kind of my thinking.
He's not going to play him. I don't think he's not going to. I don't think it makes any sense. Not none of the midfield. So none of the defenders can play a full 90 minutes. So I think someone's coming off for 80 or something like that. If the score's right. I personally would go with Virgil and I'll go with Matip. For the first game, because they got a relationship, they know each other. I obviously, you know, Trent's going to play midfield. I'll go with Ox. I would obviously go with Fabinho, and I will go with Thiago. I think that would make sense to me. But that being said, like I wouldn't be surprised if he has Hendo in there as well.
What about Naby, bro?
Naby, you can sit on the bench. I think there's more reasons. I think Naby will play a lot this season, but I think that to me, Ox's performances that I've seen warranted more than
keyword there's to me. keywords.
Number one fan. I think that I think any like independent person can actually say that, you know, Ox has been.
He's been incredible. He's been incredible. I can't be.
And it offers something that other people can't offer, which is shooting outside the box. I think you're getting more of the old Ox back. Up front now, that's the problem. Now, I think that he's going to go with Mane, Salah, and then I think he's going to start Jota. I don't think he's going to start. Yeah, I think Jota has proven himself to be able to be a finisher in this, in that lineup. That you're not just relying upon Salah only. I think that you got. I'd love.
Does Bobby very good.
So again,
yeah, Bobby's been good.
I think Bobby will come on, but I agree. I have to agree with Dre. I think that first game he played the starting lineup he wanted versus Norwich. I think he played it, And I think the only one change, I think, well, Harvey might drop out. And instead of Harvey, he might play Fabinho or he might play Ox or someone like that. But I can't. I think it'll be Ox because Ox played a full 90. So yeah. I actually think he'll go for because Ox is the attacking threat, so that's Harvey's replacement, and then he'll go for Keita and he'll go for Milner as a holding. I don't think he'll start any of the ones who didn't do the 90 because he keeps saying that this thing like there's no need to rush it back. It's a long season. Yeah,
he said that about Virgil. And
exactly. But the only thing that I think Virgil could play is because he played with Matip in that first game. That's the only reason I think he could play. Like Dre said, that pairing is the one that has been our best pairing actually ever. You know, ever literally. So they know each other really well and have a good understanding. And like Dre said as well, when else is Virgil going to get the games to get up to full fitness if he doesn't play? So, you know, of all players that could probably get away with it, Virgil's the one that you probably would take the risk on because you just need him to get there. He's not going to do it otherwise unless he plays. So I actually think, agree with Dre's team, but I would go for... You said Fabinho, didn't you, and Thiago, did you say?
Thiago's that left side.
Yeah, I go for Keita and Milner instead of those two, and then I keep Ox in there.
No Fabinho.
No, because he didn't play the night. I just think he won't put him in straight away. Milner's been so solid right in that position this whole season, and they need a captain on there. And Virg is just coming back. I think he's been that team that played the first friendly is pretty much the team he wants, and he was just kind of looking at it.
I want us to have Hendo back as quick as possible.
He will. But again, the problem is though, right? In midfield, he wants the players that are the fittest to play. Because let's not forget, right? The team is used to playing without Hendo, whether or not we like it. That run we did at the end of the season was all without Hendo.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, he's building a team that is got captains and leaders all over the pitch, like Leader Ox, for example. Wasn't you keen to say it? And leader Kate. Anyway, another story coming now. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go to it. Let's call it.
Who would your front three be?
I'd say I think he'll play Jota, but I'd rather Firmino personally. But I think he'll play Jota because I think he'll go for the ones that have trained the longest and have played like together the most. If you notice, even the preseason game before that one, the midfield was the same. The defense was slightly different, but the midfield was exactly the same, and then the front three was the same again. You know, so he's kind of like been building a team of familiarity, and I think he's going to kind of go with that. And then, but I think even if Firmino doesn't start, he's definitely coming on for Jota, definitely in the game. I think as well that Harvey will get minutes, you know, and I also think Fabinho will get minutes, you know. So it depends on like, you know, because I don't think he'll change because he's already said he doesn't want to change the defense. I think he'll want Virg to get full 90. Yeah. And he want Matip to get full 90 together. So if Virg plays, he plays a lot. If he doesn't play, then maybe he comes on for a little bit, but there's no point really doing that, really. So I think he plays a lot. But, okay, what about predictions and score? I mean, it's obviously a tough game, but Norwich have been weakened. They've lost Buendia, obviously. They've lost a few other players. They've got Cantwell still. They've got Timo Pukki still. Is he still there? I think he is, the striker. So, I mean, they still, you know, they're one of those teams that played great football in the Championship. They played good football when they went down in the Prem. So they're going to play football. So there's going to be chances, but they are good going forward. Maria, what would your prediction be for the first game of the season away?
Well, I think Liverpool are going to win, of course.
Of course.
They want a big, strong comeback first game. I think it's going to be... I'm going to go for 3-1.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. What about you, Suki? Do you agree?
I was going to say 3-1 as well, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, this has been easy. Castle, I mean, undermine. Dre, what would you say?
4-0.
4-0, cool. All right.
We're going to come out the box and then make a statement just to
rampant.
To remind rampant. Who we are.
Yeah, I'm going to go a bit conservative. I'm going for a 5-0 Liverpool away win.
Boom.
I just think that, right, we forget the amount of pressure we put teams under when we have a good defence because they can't breathe at any point. And the way Mane's pressing, how sharp he is, the way Salah hasn't scored, but he is looking sharp. And Jota, mm-hmm. and the fact that our bench is looking as sharp as our starting 11, that we haven't had that since
That's true.
We haven't had that. We've never had that. I don't think we've ever had that, actually, ever. You know, we've had a couple. In fact, yeah, we've literally never had that the whole time. I can't recall. So, yeah, I'm going to go for 5-0. And, yeah, I know it's a bit extravagant, but I'm an extravagant guy. I love Liverpool. We are Liverpool. This means more to us. This is the end of the first podcast for season two. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Suki. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Dre. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back with you next week.